As I remember, California State Polytechnic College presents the recollections and impressions of an honored former staff member, now retired, L.E. Mac McFarland. Mac, what were some of the circumstances that brought you to Cal Poly in the first place?
I was in Dr. Crandall's teacher training class at the University of California at Berkeley. And he came down in 24 and offered, and I graduated from the university in 25, and he offered me a job if I would come down here.
And what kind of a job was it when you first came down here? What were you doing?
I was a jack of all trades, farm, buildings, and buildings, and general control of all livestock and equipment on the campus.
Did you teach some animal husbandry classes that first few years?
No, I taught biology because they didn't have anybody that could teach it.
Okay. Then then Dr. Crandall came down here as a president, and along about in early 30s, there were a lot of changes that took place, and Dr. Julian McPhee came down here as the president of the college. That's right?
That is right. And I enjoyed working with Dr. McPhee up to the time of my retirement.
Now, it's true, too, Mac, that in the early years when you came down here, the buildings were certainly a lot different than they are today. Could you tell us a little bit about the buildings that you found when you came here in 25?
They were three, like the present ag educational buildings up on the hill. The print shop was down below that. And the farm buildings were all of a temporary nature.
And the dormitories?
The dual dorm on the hill is the only one they had
and
at that time.
And what was then the dining hall, and I guess it's now still the post office? Is that right?
That was a part of the original building.
And then there was the old power plant.
And the old power plant.
Yes. And there was a creamery building, too. Is that right? Dairy manufacturing?
Dairy manufacturing. The school didn't operate it. They leased it to the Harmony Valley Creamery Company.
Then during the early 30s, of course, the Depression was on, and there wasn't any money to get buildings, but pretty soon the energy of Julian McPhee began to exert itself, and we began to get some buildings. Is that right?
That is right. And the first few years, money was awfully tight compared to the following period when horse racing money came into being.
Now, you've seen the college grow from about how many students when you came here to what size?
Roughly there was 200 students here when I came down here, and there is 8,000 plus at the present time.
And that really meant building what amounts to a city, isn't that right?
That's right. That was about the size of San Luis when we came here.
And that meant a tremendous change in all of the utilities and streets and sidewalks and everything else. Isn't that true?
That is true. We had a very large number of contracts operating at the same time at the peak of the expansion program.
And
that required additional electricity, additional water. We got the water through the city, and our road program began to materialize.
It's true, isn't it, Mac, that when you first came down here, the college had its own water supply, and did they furnish all the power, too?
That's right. The power plant operated, and that was our only source of supply. And John Perosi is the one that ran that phase of it.
And if I remember the situation, Cal Poly was the only one of the state colleges that actually developed outside of a city. All the rest of them were pretty much teacher colleges and developed within a city. Isn't that about right?
That's right.
Was there a particular reason for this, the type of institution we had here? Did it have to do with the farm and agriculture?
It was set up and specified that it should be that phase of work.
For agriculture.
For agriculture.
And so, therefore, it was located out in the farming area because the college had a farm and livestock buildings and so on.
And they got the first 160-acre allotment of money up when the three buildings was put up on the hill.
Did you live on the campus as soon as you came down here?
No. For 2 years, we did not live on the campus. And in those 2 years, the president's home on the hill was built and furnished, and Dr. Crandall moved in. He lived in the cottage one that I moved into.
I see.
Lived there till I retired.
And you had some neighbors on either side of you there that were there for a long time. Who were they?
John Perosi, Heat, Light, and Power. And Mr. Meacham was at the institution at that time, lived in the third house.
And you were neighbors there for a good many years,
A good many years. Meacham was the first to leave.
And he went down to the Kellogg campus down at the South San Dimas campus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and the Navy used that as a officer's quarters during World War II.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that up. The Naval Flight Refresher Program brought in some new faces and new problems, didn't it, during the war?
It did, for a fact. We had a crew of different type men working all the time to keep up with them.
And what about housing?
They had the present one that were down in the below the print shop.
And were those built specifically for the use of the naval program?
No, they were moved in there as a result of the Navy program.
As a result of the Navy, I see. And but the college did operate during the total period of the war as a college.
We never lost track of the student at Poly all during the war period.
And the development of the program there at the college then has been possible only by maintenance of the plant and all of the facilities that go with the operation of a busy city. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And the crew that you had kept growing over the years, I guess.
That's right.
Do you remember how many people were responsible to you at the time you retired? I know it was a lot.
About 150.
About 150. And when you first started in, there was you and not very many other people, is that right?
I think we had one, two, three, four, five others.
Five other people. Well, that's quite a growth and expansion. Mac, over the years, I know that you, and particularly in the early years, perhaps got acquainted with students. You had many more students or a higher percentage of students working in M&O jobs and so on then than they do now, where everything is structured to civil service. Do you remember some of the interesting students that you had that maybe had worked with you or that you knew as an instructor?
Well, Todd Taylor was one that was a student and took his working with Bob Adams at the present time.
And who's that?
Tartaglia.
Dick Tartaglia?
Yeah.
He was one of your earliest boys there. Uh-huh. Do you remember, Max, some of the interesting students that came up from Mexico late 20s and early 30s?
I'm a little bit lost on that subject, George.
One of them became a very famous movie actor. Yes, and in fact, he just died a few years ago.
I was unable to produce his name. There's a reason I passed the buck back to you.
Well, I know that there were quite a number during that period of time. Do you remember any of the interesting people that were here in the Naval Flight Refresher Program, that is, the officers?
Well, we correspond at Christmas with one married couple. Can you shut it off? Tom Miller is one of the ones that we still remembered from the Navy program, and he was with the
Sunset. Was it Sunset?
Sunset.
Oh, Better Homes. Better Homes.
Better Homes and Journal magazine.
Yeah, that's right.
And we still hear from them an exchange of Christmas cards.
Are there any people on the faculty here still that were there then?
What's that name?
What's his name? Ozzie Falkenstern?
Ozzie Falkenstern. He was here at that time.
He was an instructor here.
And he's an instructor in mathematics.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Now, in those early days when you first came here, where did the faculty and students have social functions and plays and so on? Was there any place on the campus?
Well, there was no very big place in the old Civic Auditorium down on Monterey Street. It was used for a good many years.
When the Navy program came in, I guess there were some buildings built by that time, including the Crandall Gymnasium that was built in about 1928. Mm-hmm. Where did the Navy have their functions?
In the barracks.
I see.
That was built specifically for them.
I see. Now, did they have anything up in what's now the Temporary College Union up there that was built for the youth program and poverty days?
Yes, that was used for activities along that line in the early days, and it then was changed over to housing.
Now, Mac, I know that over the years that your department was called upon any time that there was any major function on the campus. There was many things to be prepared and buildings to be decorated and halls to be set up, and I know that homecoming was one of those big events of the year. So it seems to me that in 1963 that something happened to you that just kind of tickled you. Is that right?
That's right.
What was it?
They appointed me Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal of the parade. Well, that was certainly wonderful, and I know that that's something that meant a great deal to you and that you'll always remember.
It certainly will.
Well, have we pretty much called over the old days and most of your recollections of that time, Mac?
I think so, George.
Because we could talk here for a good many hours.
As soon as we quit, we'll think of something we should have said.
We'll just turn it on again, then.
before you leave.
Okay, Mac. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and as we close out this program, as I remember, I want to thank you very much for participating in this, and this tape will go into the archives at the college and will be there for people to listen to and hear your voice and see what it was that you remembered. This program interview has been conducted by George P. Cooper.